This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from the Continental Motors Group headquarters in Mobile, Alabama. I'm with Michael Skolnick, who's overseas operations, manufacturing operations, both here at Mobile and in Germany, where Continental also manufactures diesels. Michael, we've walked through the plant and we've talked about some of the potential advantages of the investment you're about to make, $40 million worth of new machinery and a new building. Let's talk a little bit about the economics of what that's going to do for you. And when we were out on the floor, you mentioned, I think it was in the CAM line, where a new machine coming in will save just hours of setup and hand labor time. Tell us about the economics of that.
Yeah, so with our business, since we're very low volume, very high mix, we have to be flexible. And our processes today are not very flexible, which drives a lot of waste in the system. So a lot of changeovers, a lot of waiting, a lot of WIP, which drives inventory costs, et cetera, goes away to a certain extent with flexible manufacturing. And you've seen in a couple of cells the transformation that we have made, not only just to reduce changeover time, reduce our inventory, reduce the content of work by combining multiple operations, but it also reduces the lead time to the customer, right? So the lead time of the parts decrease, improves availability of the parts to the market, which is, at the end of the day, that's the most important part.
Let's talk about the specifics on that CAM machine we talked about. Right now you have a machine that requires, 8 or 10 hours or 12, as much as 12 hours of setup time. Now you go to a new flexible machine, and how much does that change the economics?
Significantly. I mean, in most cases, changeover from one part to the next took, on average, 10 to 12 hours, depending on the family. And now it's about 5 minutes. So not only does that reduce the amount of waste, but reduces the lead time of the part in general. That's been a substantial change for the camshaft production.
Now, that applies just to cams, but I get the impression that there are those kinds of efficiency gains to be made throughout the whole plant?
Yes, absolutely. One of the most recent investments we made as well, besides camshafts, is our crankcase department, which we've done used the same type of methodology for that process as well, getting to a one-piece flow. Due to the complexity of the different variations of crankcases we produce, that was a big challenge. With that cell, we eliminated close to 30 different assets that had unique operations assigned to them. Now it's on an RGV pallet system, which is very flexible. There's zero changeover on that cell, and we can react to whatever the customer wants. That opportunity exists in every shop that we have today that we haven't not made that transformation to. And that's the exciting part about moving to the new facility, is we will bring that mindset with us and establish those operations to be as lean and flexible as possible.
And the thing I really had not thought about, but the physical proximity makes a difference too, because you're shuttling parts back and forth between these 11 buildings around here, and that adds up really literally to miles. So now it'll be a few feet?
Yeah, the processes will all be designed to where they'll be integrated very close in proximity. It's not a lean, efficient layout what we have today, and you're correct by saying parts travel miles in their life, from machining to heat treating and plating, back to more machining, et cetera, to the storeroom and then to the engine or to the aftermarket. So all that waste is reduced as well with shrinking the footprint of the process and integrating it into the cell.
We talked a little bit about the cost of this machinery. It's always been expensive. It's still expensive, but in terms of what it can do, it's much more flexible now. Talk a little bit about the five-axis machinery that's in use.
Yeah, the equipment today is very, very flexible. The cost has come down substantially over the past 5 to 10 years with five axis and some newer technologies, you know. And like anything, technology in the machine tool world is constantly changing as well, and for the better. So it's actually, it's a good time for us to invest in that technology. We have some of it today, very little compared to what we will have in the future.
Now, I think in aviation, we always seem to think that, gee, it would be great if an aircraft plant, an engine plant, were as automated, say, as a automotive engine plant, which is your background, or even an assembly plant. Can't quite go there because of the investment. Explain a little bit why you can't.
Yeah, I mean, we can go to automation to some level, to some extent, but it doesn't always make sense because of the investment due to our volume that we produce at the factory. We are investigating in a couple different operations where it makes sense, not so much from a cost or efficiency standpoint, but from a safety and ergonomic standpoint. Some of our parts, you know, come from raw forgings, which are quite heavy, and some of the processes make it very attractive for automation to be able to manufacture these parts without having a team member required to handle these parts by their hands. Also, our engine assembly process, we're looking at completely revamping and possibly using some automation for the build stands. Not just for flexibility, but again, focusing on safety and ergonomics, different heights to be programmed for the operators to do their job, different rotations, and again, being designed specifically for what spec they are assembling. And it gives us the flexibility to assemble any engine anytime and any day.
Now, in many plants, all kinds of plants, including automotive, you see the little automated guide vehicles running around carrying parts. Those certainly are driven by high volume, and you'll see a little bit of that here, I'm told.
Yeah, we are planning on investing in a system similar to that for the engine assembly process. I don't think we will go down the path of material delivery systems to that extent. Again, going back to the fact that our volume doesn't require that type of investment and wouldn't support it.
What kind of skills do the people who work in this plant have to have? Because they're going to need different skills in 3 years even than they do now, correct?
That is correct. We have a very vertically integrated facility now with a very vast range of skill sets needed to manufacture our products. We have some very manual, old-school machining-type applications, typical machinist-type skill set. Then you have some new five-axis machines that these guys work on. It's, you know, high controls are very complicated, much different than the traditional world. Obviously, we will be moving more towards better technology, more system-driven. So it's going to be a mind shift and a skill set shift for the workforce to get us there. And, you know, we've partnered with the community as well as AIDT from the state to put together a plan on how to make this transformation. So it's going to be a challenge. What everyone's doing today will not be what we're doing in the future.
There are a number of other aerospace industries around here, including Airbus. Does that help this effort?
I think it helps attract skilled people that we need. If we're bringing new folks on board, whether it be from a production standpoint or engineering standpoint, I think the area attracts that. We're not the only game in town. The Brooklyn Aeroplex is growing with the aerospace presence, and I think it's very attractive for people to be part of that journey and that growth.
Well, thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from the Continental Motors Group plant in Mobile, Alabama. We've been speaking with Michael Skolnick, who oversees manufacturing here and in Germany. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.